This hour is brought to you by FindMassMoney.com.
This is WEEI Late Night with Brian Barrett.
Are you concerned about being benched for next week or anything like that?
That's not my call.
Jarrett Stidham is taking over here at quarterback.
Bill, I wanted to ask you about just the quarterback. You're going to stick with Cam next week at quarterback?
Yeah, great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that. Cam's our quarterback.
In this run defense, they had no answer for 12 personnel. They got big, and they absolutely dominated the line of scrimmage. They pushed them around the field. They didn't set the edge in the run game, and they just ran zone. It wasn't anything like reverses, misdirection, anything like that. They literally ran it right down their throats with inside, outside zone.
All right, let's get after it. Let's get right into this. This season is now a failure for your New England Patriots. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. The first year of the post-Brady era, you aren't going to make the playoffs. And I know, 4% chance they can still make it. Anyone that thinks this team is winning their final three games, you're an idiot at this point if you actually think they can do this. So you aren't even going to be playing relevant games in week 17. Like, your game against the Jets in week 17 is going to mean nothing. This is an epic failure. You needed to at least be competitive this season. You're not even going to be that. 1 year after Tom Brady leaves, this is the product we get from Bill Belichick and his Patriots. Disgraceful. And last night, that sucked. That was an absolute joke. That was embarrassing. I was so pissed off watching that crap last night, and I'm sure a lot of you were as well. And I've been telling you for the past couple of weeks, I mean, at this point, I wanted to buy in. I wanted this team to be competitive the rest of the way. I wanted to have something to cheer for the remainder of the season. And last night, it just put an end to that. The hope, it's over. The light at the end of the tunnel, nowhere to be found now. And the worst part about that last night, it wasn't even close. They didn't even show up. At least show up. It's not that difficult. Show up for the game. I can live with the loss if the team actually performed at like a decent level and they play hard. That wasn't there. They might as well have come back from LA and forfeited the game after the Chargers game, because that would have been less depressing than what we actually watched on the field last night. I would have rather just forfeit that game than play the way you did. And I was starting to at least buy into Bill Belichick's defense and thinking, all right, look, they found something on that side of the ball. It took a while to get to this point. You didn't have Hightower. You didn't have Chung. But look where you're at now over the past couple of weeks. Now, the secondary had been, great over the past few weeks. And you've gotten some production out of young guys in Uche and Chase Winovich. And they were showing some signs, right? It felt like, all right, Bill finally has this defense playing well. But no. That wasn't true. It was more about playing Kyler Murray, who was banged up. And they didn't want him running, and that's why you won that game. And, of course, you got lucky with Zane Gonzalez missing the field goal. It was about playing the Chargers, who were just a complete mess offensively. They couldn't help their young quarterback, Justin Herbert. And Anthony Lynn is one of, if not the worst coach in the entire NFL, this side of Adam Gase. And he may be worse than Adam Gase from a strategical perspective. It was about your opponents. It wasn't about you having a good defense. And I feel like a complete idiot for buying in and hoping they can make a run, because for most of the season, the defense had been straight garbage. But it looked like they were turning that around. And what happened last night? You got manhandled from the first drive of the game. This defense that appeared to be turning a corner, what a joke that was last night. We can talk about the quarterback all we want, the offense all we want, and I'll get into that in greater detail. But the defense embarrassed itself last night. That's Bill Belichick's side of the ball. They're supposed to be good on that side of the ball. They looked pretty good over the past couple of weeks. They pitched a shutout. They took it to Kyler Murray. Well, what the hell happened last night? The Rams took it to you from the first snap of the game. You were crushed. Your defensive line was completely pushed over. The first drive, Bill's defense. 6 plays, 75 yards. Jared Goff's touchdown makes it 7-0, where he puts the ball over the line there. Just a complete gut punch. And the Pats are now 22nd in the NFL in rushing yards per game after entering last night at 18th. On the season, they give up 124 yards per game. Pitiful. And that was just so deflating last night, that first drive. A team just runs it down your throat, and you can't do anything about it. Cam Akers, a rookie, ran for 171 yards. A rookie in Cam Akers ran for 171 yards. He wasn't even their guy, like their main running back, until a couple of weeks ago. It was the most ever. The most ever for a rookie running back against the Patriots. So they made history last night to the Patriots in terms of their ineptitude. Congratulations for that. Cam Akers ran all over you. And by the way, how about this? Here's some numbers for you. It was 150 yards outside of the tackles. So the Patriots, all night long, they couldn't set the edge. You know, the Rams want to get outside. That's their calling card in terms of the run game. And they did the same thing that San Francisco did to you. They got to the edge whenever they wanted, all night long. Complete joke. And that first drive I alluded to, how about the first play? Okay, 25-yard completion, rather, I should say, to Tyler Higbee. Okay, so that's 25 yards. Then John Simon gets a neutral zone infraction. This is a team that is very disciplined. They were the least penalized team of the NFL. First drive of the game, you get a dumbass penalty like that. Next play, Cam Akers rips off a 10-yard run. On the play, he breaks a John Simon tackle. Simon could not tackle him. So first he gets the penalty. Then he cannot tackle Cam Akers, the rookie. And they eventually score on the Goff sneak. But a 25-yard pass play, a penalty, and then a broken tackle and a 10-yard run. That's how the game opened up for the Patriots defense. They did not look prepared for this one whatsoever. And it's very rarely that we say that, or it's very rare that we say that about a Bill Belichick coach team. There is no way around it. Last night he got out-coached. He was not prepared for the game. His team was not prepared. And remember, Bill had Sean McVay's number in that Super Bowl. We mocked him for that garbage before the game, the NFL film stuff where he's basically waxing poetically about Bill. It's like, dude, take it easy here. You're about to play him. But McVay flipped the script last night. So the Rams have historically, this is courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info, they have historically used 11 personnel, as we know, with the three receivers and the one tight end. So Bill took advantage of that in the Super Bowl, but here are the numbers now. How about the past 2 weeks, including last night, for Sean McVay? They used 12 personnel 59% of the team, 59% of the time, rather. So over the past couple of weeks, Sean McVay knows, okay, Bill Belichick's coming up on the schedule. I can't win the way I tried to win in the Super Bowl. I have to make a change. So they completely changed their formation so they can get the edge and have that running game rolling. It helped them block on the edge for those 150 yards, as I mentioned, outside of the tackles. McVay was the one that needed to make an adjustment. Obviously, from the last time these two teams met, he made the adjustment. That's usually what Bill does, right? He usually figures it out. This time it was McVay, and the Patriots got outmanned, and they got beat up in the run game. Bottom line, no way around it. They got manhandled, and they didn't just get beat. They were out-schemed by Sean McVay. On the short week, Sean McVay's team was ready. Bill's wasn't. Bottom line, Bill got out-coached. You can't avoid that right now. Bill had to know that McVay was going to adjust, right? McVay's a very smart guy. We can mock him all we want for what happened before the Super Bowl, but he's a smart guy. Every one of you would acknowledge that. But Bill did not have his team prepared. You have to know that McVay is going to make an adjustment. And look, Bill tried to make adjustments in that game. We saw him looking at the pictures on the sideline, talking to the defense on the sideline. They showed that during the broadcast. And he was trying to relay to his defense whatever he was seeing. Clearly, it didn't work. Now, they did briefly slow them down in the second quarter. But then what happened? Well, after halftime, you have to punt on offense. Shocker that this team had to punt the ball away. I figured they'd go on a long extended drive. So they had to punt in their first possession of the second half. And then what happens for the Rams? Six plays, 90 yards, almost 10 minutes the Rams take off the clock with a penalty. Okay, so Bill, the king of halftime adjustments, couldn't make any halftime adjustments. His team got its ass kicked on the Rams' first drive after the break. So if anything, when Sean McVay saw his offense kind of sputtering in the second quarter, he went into halftime, he made the adjustment, and Bill couldn't respond again. Bill couldn't counter. Akers on that drive, by the way, a 6-yard run, a 6-yard run, an 8-yard run, and a 25-yard run. Those were four consecutive plays to open up the half for the Rams. Four consecutive runs for Cam Akers that go for 45 yards. So you went back into the locker room, and when you came back out, they just ran it down your throat again. Where the hell was the adjustment? What the hell happened to the pride as well defensively? That was embarrassing. Oh, yeah, and then what happens on 4th and 1 on that drive from the 4? Again, another inopportune penalty, or a penalty at an inopportune time, I should say. Akeem Spence, neutral zone infraction on that 4th and 1. So you have an opportunity to maybe force a turnover there, but instead you pick up a dumbass penalty. And look, Spence is someone that should not be in that role anyway. He was signed to the practice squad on November 21st. But that's the state of your horrible roster right now. On a gotta-have-it play, you have a guy that should be on the practice squad out there in a meaningful game, seasons on the line, massive play in the game, a practice squad player is out there for the Patriots. So you were not ready at the beginning of the game, and you were not ready at halftime. So un-Belichickian, isn't it? That was embarrassing. And we knew the offense wasn't going to be able to carry you to a win. And we know the offense has been a joke. It has been predictable. And I've told you over the past couple of weeks, they are legitimately, this isn't just something that if you watch the game, you notice, because obviously you notice it as well. It's actually backed up by stats. They're the most predictable offense in the entire NFL. They run more on first down than anybody else in the sport. But we knew this about the offense. We know the offense sucks. But for Bill's defense to get run over like that is a complete joke. And for Bill to not be able to make any adjustment whatsoever, that again is a joke. The formula for this team to win and try to make a run down the stretch of the season, which I was hoping they could do to keep things interesting, was play great defense and run the ball. That was the formula. And when that doesn't happen for the Patriots, we saw it last night, everything falls apart so damn fast, man. It's like when you pull out the wrong piece playing Jenga. The whole thing just falls over. That's what happened to the Patriots last night. Their whole season fell apart. It was a helpless feeling watching that game, wasn't it? And for Bill to not have his team ready, that's just an all-time shocker. Season on the line, gotta have it game. Bill doesn't have his team ready to play. This is something I never thought was plausible. You can lose games. You can lose big games. But for his team not to be prepared to play in that game, that's not defensible. It isn't. And then, look, you may need a little bit more offense because the Rams are a good team. So you figure, all right, maybe the offense has to be better than it was against the Cardinals. And the Chargers game, the offense really didn't do that much. It was more about the special teams and the defense. But what happens? To open up the game for the Pats, consecutive three and outs to open up the game. So you prepared for this game the past 3-4 days or so. And obviously you're focused on the script at the beginning of the game, the first 15 plays. You come out two consecutive three and outs. The first series, third down, Bird drops a pass, but he was 4 yards behind the sticks anyway. Wouldn't have mattered. On third down, Cam Newton's throwing the ball with no chance of picking up a first down. It wasn't like giving him room to run after the catch. No, he was literally 4 yards behind the sticks. You threw him the football, he had no chance of picking up a first down. Even if Bird catches that ball, what the hell's the point? Okay, you're still punting the ball. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, he's throwing behind the sticks. It's a dumbass play. It's a dumbass read. And then on the second series of the game, on third and two, what happens? Stop me if you heard this before. Oh, yeah, Cam Newton got a pass batted down at the line of scrimmage. How many times have we seen that this season? Incredible. Every week, this guy gets the ball batted down at the line of scrimmage. It's every single week. This isn't happens every once in a while. This happens every week, including 5 times against the Texans. Every single week. You are 6'5" if you're Cam Newton. You've been in the league for 10 years. Figure it out. How does this crap happen to you every single week? Unreal. So your first two series, you run 6 plays. Unbelievable. Terrible. What you guys were working on in between games, I have no idea. Your offense looks worse. It gets worse as the season goes on. We're not asking you to score on the first drive or the second drive of the game. How about a damn first down? How about you pick up some positive yardage? But then, how about this? They actually catch a break. The Patriots offense gets a gift. Oh, man, they're down 10-0, but Jared Goff throws a horrible ball to Robert Woods, and Miles Bryant, give him credit. I mean, that was an amazing interception that he came up with. So amazing play by Bryant, horrible throw by Jared Goff, but you get a gift. The Patriots have an opportunity in Rams territory, down 10-0. Let's get right back in the game. And you're feeling like, okay, this is the jolt the Patriots offense needs. They're not going to create it themselves, but the defense made a play for them. The defense showed up. They make a play. Not showed up for the majority of the night, but they showed up there. They make a play. What happens? You're at the Rams 19. So at worst, you get a field goal. At worst, you make it a 10-3 game. Okay? Especially considering the kicker has been your best offensive weapon this season. No. Not with this quarterback. Cam throws an interception on a screen pass. He can't throw screens. We can't argue that either. He literally can't throw screens. Although Wiggy tried to say it's not his fault. I don't know who else you blame on that. It's amazing. Well, yeah, there was pressure in his face. I acknowledge that. But throw the ball into the damn ground. Throw the ball into the ground, Cam. Nothing's working. You have a defender in your face. Throw it into the ground. Instead, he just lofts it up. What do you think's going to happen there? You think something good is going to happen? You just lofting it up there? Well, you don't know where Damian Harris is. Aaron Donald made a great play there holding him up. So you're just going to float it in the air. Seems like a brilliant idea. Let's see what happens. What's the worst that could happen? Oh, yeah, the worst did happen because Kenny Young picks you off and he goes the other way. And then it's 17-0. That's a 10-point play. That's a 10-point turnaround right there because your quarterback is a turnover machine that cannot throw screen passes. And, oh, by the way, he's a dumb decision maker. Other than that, he's played really well this year. Okay, so then the Pats get the ball back. They start to run the ball. Damian Harris gets going a little bit. They set up a first and goal from the 6-yard line. 4 consecutive runs for the Pats. They couldn't get into the end zone. 4 consecutive plays and a goal-and-goal situation, all runs. The Rams sniffed out that fourth-and-goal play. It was a terrible play. I mean, it was basically Cam on an option. If he pitched it to Harris, Harris wasn't getting in. Cam himself was dead. They read it immediately. They had no chance. That play had no chance from the beginning. How about the fact you don't put it in the air once because you don't trust your quarterback to throw? What does that say about Cam? What's he doing out there if you don't trust him to throw on a goal-to-goal situation? He didn't throw the ball once from the 6, 4 plays from the 6. You can't get the ball into the end zone, and you don't throw the ball. And where's the creativity there? Josh McDaniels has come up with some real creative stuff this year. Can you do something to try to trick them? Something more than 4 consecutive runs like that? 2 big series to get back into the game. 1, you throw a pick 6, and the 2nd, you can't get anything out of a goal-to-goal situation from the 6-yard line. And that pretty much summarizes the Patriots season. When you needed a big play, you couldn't do it. How many times have we seen it this year? Denver game, you need a big play, you're down 18-12. The offense can't do it. Seattle game, end of the game, you need a big play, you can't do it. Buffalo game, end of the game, Cam Newton fumbles the football. So many opportunities this year for wins at the end. The Patriots have not been able to do it. That was the season right there. You have opportunities in that game early to stay in it, couldn't make big plays. So the defense went out there, got emasculated. They ran all over you. And then you had an offense that couldn't do anything, could not make one big play, and they gave the other team opportunities. By the way, you had an offensive line that I thought was one of the better offensive lines in the entire league. They got smoked. They got embarrassed. They got manhandled. Oh, my God, the quarterbacks got crushed. It was not just Aaron Donald either. It was Michael Brockers with 2 sacks. Leonard Floyd got in there. The whole offensive line group played horrible last night. I mean, Jermaine Illuminor could not block anyone. On the same series, Michael Brockers flew by him for a sack, and Donald flies by him for a sack as well. And at some point, maybe give this guy some help. He needs it. He couldn't block those guys. And another thing about this that you never took advantage of, and this is the thing that aggravated me, is they had a real weakness on that team, did the Rams. That's their quarterback, right? Now, I get you had the Miles Bryan interception on Jared Goff, but you didn't turn it into anything. But Jared Goff is the Rams' weakness. Sean McVay recently called him out because he hasn't been playing well. So instead of forcing him to throw, you let them run all over you, and the game got out of control. That's what happened, bottom line. You let them run all over you, so then you can't expose their weakness, right? Because then they're playing on their terms the remainder of the game. Sean McVay doesn't have to expose Jared Goff. He can make easy throws, and he can continue to run the ball with Cam Akers because they're in control of the game. Goff, by the way, had 6 interceptions in his past 5 games entering last night. And he was basically a bystander. He was there along for the ride. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to do anything because they were leading all night long. That was the one thing where you looked at the Rams, you say, okay, you can get to Goff. We saw him in the Super Bowl. You can get to Goff. He'll throw it up to you. He did throw it up to you in terms of the Miles Bryan interception. That was a terrible pass to Robert Woods. Great play by Bryan. I'm not taking anything away from him, but that was a terrible throw by Jared Goff. We all know that you can take advantage of Goff. So the one weakness the Rams have, you didn't take advantage of it because you fell behind by too much early on in the game. And at this point, I'm used to Cam being a horrible thrower of the football. 29th in passer rating at 78. That's 40 points lower than the league leader, Aaron Rodgers. The average is like 95 this year, which Cam is 17 points lower than average. So he isn't even close to an average passer. So this has been established. Cam is not a good thrower of the football. Bottom line, he isn't good. He isn't even close to average. Anyone that wants to say, oh, well, look at the weapons, Brian. I get they're not good, but watch him throw the ball. It's a complete disaster. Mechanics blow, the motion's ugly, and he's inaccurate. There's nothing good about Cam throwing the football. But anyway, I know this guy's horrible. They've won games, though, like Arizona, where he played awful. But what's embarrassing to me is everything else sucked for the Patriots last night. The coaching was horrible. The discipline was horrible. How many dumb penalties were they going to pick up? The offensive line gave Cam and the running backs no help. The defense was not ready to play, and they got the ball run right down their damn throat. They never responded. That's what pisses me off. We know the quarterback sucks. We know Cam isn't good anymore. But what happened to this great offensive line? What happened to this great coaching staff? What happened to this defense that appeared to be turning a corner? What happened to any of that? None of that was present last night whatsoever. You didn't go down fighting. Your season was on the damn line, and that's what you do. You stayed out in Los Angeles for that crap. Unbelievable. Gotta have it game. Line sucks. Coaching was bad. You were not prepared whatsoever. Quarterback sucked as usual. Nothing went well for you. Oh, and oh, by the way, their one weakness, which the Patriots in the Belichick era have been so great at exploiting other teams' weaknesses, they couldn't exploit it whatsoever because before you knew it, they were down 17-0. All right, if you want to join us tonight, what do you make of the Patriots' loss to the Rams? 617-779-7937. How much blame do you put on Bill? How much of the blame should go on Cam's shoulders? Are you blaming the defense? Is it the offensive line? Who deserves the most blame for what went down last night? We'll also get into Bill Belichick sticking with Cam Newton as the team's quarterback. There's only one explanation for why Bill would do this, and it's not a good one. We'll get to that in a little bit as well, right here on WEI.
We're right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
What happened on the Kenny Young interception?
That type of play is all off anticipation. I thought he had just got right outside of the defender, so I was just going to try to lead him upfield, and obviously that didn't happen, and it ended up being a turnover going the other way.
No, Cam, you actually just threw that pass blind. That's not what happened. You threw the pass blind. Can't really defend that by Cam Newton. Just a poor decision. Poor execution, poor decision. Just throw it into the damn ground. Live to play another day. Live to fight another down. You're in field goal range. You can't give that away. Bottom line. Heck, that's why Brian Hoyer never got another opportunity this year because of what he did in those situational plays where he was in a situation, was Brian Hoyer, where they say, hey, don't take a sack here, and he took a sack. That's what you're not supposed to do. And with Cam Newton last night, we saw what happened. Unbelievable. He just lofts up a screen pass. Can't defend that. And I can't remember the last time I actually thought this way. I can't wait for the Celtics season because this is over. This is done. Think about how long it's been. I guess the last time maybe you could reference that would be 07-08 because in the 08 season you had, well, no, because the Patriots were undefeated. The next year is when Brady went down. So I can't even remember a time where I'm like, oh, yeah, I can't wait for the Celtics season. Because the Patriots have always been relevant. The Patriots have always been the team that the rest of the league is chasing. Bottom line, that's what's been happening here for years and years and years. And now the Patriots are in a situation where it's a dumpster fire. They're a complete disaster right now, and I don't know where the light at the end of the tunnel is coming. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to David. He's in Florida. What's up, David?
Hello.
David, what's up? Dude, what's going on, man?
How to get you off speaker? Sorry there, sir. So you were making me angry with your opening argument. I mean, yeah, granted, other than the first drive, and I know that's like kind of like asking how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln, but other than the first drive, the defense did a really fine job. They only gave up 17 points.
Hold on. What about the first drive of the second half? The tone setter for the Rams, where they basically put you out of your own misery. The first drive of the second half, they had the ball for 10 minutes. They end up with a touchdown.
All right. So, yes.
That ended the game, David.
No, you're right. Because, I mean, being down 14 points to the Rams, but Cam being down 14 points is like being down 30 points.
I agree with that.
So, I mean, it's just ludicrous. It's horrible, but I mean, and the defense did kind of get demoralized.
Yeah, they got embarrassed, David.
They didn't get embarrassed.
David, how, I mean, a rookie ended up running for 100 and what was it? 100 and whatever yards on him. The team ran for 177 yards on them. I don't know how you can say they didn't get embarrassed. It was the most rushing yards for a rookie against a Bill Belichick team.
No. All right. Well, I didn't realize that. Maybe if that's the case, then okay. I mean, yes. And I mean, that's, you're right that they didn't, they weren't, I mean, the first quarter and a half of the game, they didn't game plan intelligently because they probably, I mean, yeah, but the announcers pointed it out too, that, McVay did a wonderful, a really intelligent job going to the run very initially.
Yeah, and so David, hold on, David, what's your problem with my opening argument? That's what you said originally, you had a problem with my opening argument.
I thought that was just a bit too much of a exaggeration. I mean, I'd give the defense a B for those overall the entire game.
All right, David.
Maybe a B minus.
David, you're a more generous grader than I am. I appreciate the call tonight. 617-779-7937. All I pointed out was this. When you look at everything that transpired in that game last night, the quarterback sucked, but that's kind of, at this point, if he doesn't turn the ball over, you feel like you've had a win at the quarterback position because Cam's been so bad giving the other team the ball. But you could go into that game and realistically expect Cam to not play well because for the majority of the season he has not played well, and we all know he can't throw the football. So it's kind of an issue entering the game. You know you're at a disadvantage basically every time you go out to the field in terms of the quarterback position. Every time you line up, you look on the other side. The other guy's usually better than your guy. That's just the reality that we all live in right now as Patriots fans. You went from having the advantage for basically 20 years to being at a disadvantage every time you go out to the football field. But that was a given. You knew the quarterback of the Patriots was not going to be very effective in this game. That's just where we're at right now with Cam Newton. He's not a great player right now. He's not a very productive player right now. That's just the reality of where Cam Newton is at in his football life, so to speak. But the rest of the stuff, did you expect the offensive line to come out? And we all know the Rams have a good defense. I'm not taking anything away from the Rams' defense. They have one of the better defenses in the NFL. They have the best defensive player in the NFL in total in Aaron Donald. They have a bunch of other guys that are playing well in Brockers, and they get Jalen Ramsey on the back end. Although, Jalen Ramsey, that must have been a boring night for him last night. Who the hell is going to cover on the Patriots? Usually he's got the number one receiver on the other team, right? So it's DK Metcalf 1 week in that division. And you start to think about DeAndre Hopkins. Who the hell was he covering last night? I mean, they really didn't even have to use him in man-to-man coverage because they're not threatened by the Patriots receivers whatsoever. Okay, bottom line, I mean, okay, so they have a great defense. I'm not taking anything away from that defense. But did you expect the offensive line to look the way it did last night? That was one thing that just was stunning to me. That was jarring to me because that's been a good group for the Patriots for the majority of the season. That's been a strength of this team is the offensive line. David Andrews and Joe Tooney, that's been a great unit this season. And they did not play well at all. And then you look at the defense, first drive of the game, they're not ready. First drive after halftime, they're not ready either. Picked up a bunch of penalties as well. I mean, you start to think about it in terms of critical situations. You got the penalty on a 4th-and-1 situation where maybe you come up with a big stop, you force a turnover, gain some sort of momentum for your offense. They couldn't do it there. So the defense did not play well. And that's something that's alarming to me because I thought, okay, maybe this defense has turned a corner. Maybe this looks like a better defense than we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season, where for the first 6 to 8 weeks or so, they weren't that good. And then we saw some of these young guys play well. Josh Uche, Kyle Duggar, Chase Winovich, they looked better. The defense in totality looked better. And then you have that performance against the Rams in a gotta-have-it game. That's the thing. Season on the line. Where are your guts? Where is the pride of this football team last night? Everything's on the line. You lose this game, season over. Done. I get it. 4% chance ain't happening. Does anybody feel confident about that? So the offensive line sucked, the defense sucked, and the coaching sucked. If I asked you before the game last night what was going to go wrong for the Patriots if they were going to lose, would you have said, well, I don't think the offensive line's going to play well. I think the defense is going to be a no-show. And I actually believe Bill Belichick is going to be pantsed by Sean McVay. Would anybody have said those three things were going to happen? I'll give you the Cam stuff. I'll give you, oh yeah, the quarterback's going to suck. Okay, I'll give you that. Like if the Patriots came out of the game and it was just because Cam played poorly and he threw another critical interception at an inopportune time, then I would say, okay, this isn't that big of a surprise. But the way that it went down last night, the way that you were utterly dominated and some of your strengths just completely went out the window last night. That's the thing that was the most stunning to me. That's the thing that I'm having a really difficult time with today. And I had a really difficult time with last night as I was watching that game. That's what really rubbed me the wrong way. Is some of the stuff that I thought was good about this Patriots team, and some of the positive momentum that they had built up over the past couple of weeks, I felt better about some of that stuff, right? I felt great about the offensive line. I felt a lot better about the defense. And I obviously always feel confident in the coaching. But now you start to look at this season in totality with Bill Belichick. It has not been a great coaching job. And it was crazy last week. And I told you at the beginning of this week, it was stupid that people were putting Bill Belichick in the coach of the year conversation. First of all, I have a very difficult time deciphering between Bill the GM and Bill the coach, because it's like, well, look what Bill's doing with this roster. Oh, yeah, but he put the roster together. It's a very difficult thing to separate those two things. But just getting back to the original point, I go back to the Texans game. They had one of the worst rushing defenses in the entire NFL. The Patriots dropped Cam Newton back 42 times in that game to throw, and they only ran it 24 times. And that was after the opening drive of the game. Damian Harris is running all through the Houston Texans, ends up with a rushing touchdown on that particular series, the opening drive in that game. And then they go away from the running game. The fact that his team, and you can give me all this crap about COVID, but a lot of teams have dealt with COVID situations. The Titans, the Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers have been screwed over by COVID, and their team hasn't really even been infected by it that much, right? So a bunch of teams in the league have dealt with the COVID situation. You don't show up for a game against the San Francisco 49ers. It was basically like the Rams game, where they just set the edge the entire game, or rather, you couldn't set the edge the entire game, and the 49ers embarrassed you. They were just able to get on the edge and pick up all those rushing yards, right? So that game was poorly coached. The Texans game was poorly coached. The Rams game was poorly coached. And then the fact that Denver game, what the hell went on in that one? You couldn't do anything in terms of moving the football, and I know that was Cam's first game back from COVID-19 and all that. But there is no excuse. In no world should the Patriots be losing to the Denver Broncos. So I don't know how anybody could give Bill Belichick a passing grade this season in terms of his coaching. He wasn't prepared for the game last night. I mean, that was crystal clear. He wasn't prepared for the San Francisco game. And his quarterback is regressing. His quarterback is actually getting worse as the season goes on. Ordinarily, what we see with Bill Belichick coach teams is the players get better as the season goes on. Well, his quarterback is actually getting worse as the season goes on. Cam Newton looks worse by the week. Every week, it looks like his performance is suffering even more. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Speaking of Cam, Bill Belichick is sticking with Cam Newton as the team's quarterback. There is only one explanation for why Bill would do this, and it's not a good one. I'll get to it next here on WEI.
Right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
Bill, I wanted to ask you about just the quarterback. You're going to stick with Cam next week at quarterback.
Yeah, great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that. Cam's our quarterback.
Guess why not go to Jarrett's? What has Cam showed you to stick by him so much?
He's our quarterback. I think we just answered that one, Ben.
Do you think the offense can continue to – can you win games when the passing attack is throwing for 69, 84, 119 yards?
Yeah. So we didn't do anything well enough to win tonight, so we all got to do a better job.
All right, not a very in-depth answer last night from Bill Belichick. Well, we are sticking with Cam. Why? Because he's our quarterback. That's all we got. And then, well, how can you defend – essentially Ben Volman's asking him, can you actually win games when your quarterback in the past 2 weeks – has thrown for under 100 yards. Last night, he did get over the 100-yard threshold. Congratulations to Cam. Major accomplishment there. How can you win with a quarterback that has been that inefficient? And Bill Belichick basically points to the fact that, well, everybody's going to play better. That's true, but the quarterback's a big part of the puzzle. He's the most important player on the field, and he sucked last night, and he sucked for the majority of the season. So, by the way, Mike Reese later on asked him, or I should say, last night he was asked about why not go to Jarrett Stidham.
With two relief appearances from Jarrett Stidham over the last 2 weeks, are you happy with his development and, you know, what you've seen from him so far this season?
Yeah. I mean, Jarrett's worked hard. He's tried to take advantage of his opportunities. But that's not really the point.
All right. So Jarrett's played well. He's developed, but that wasn't really the point. So that's kind of a vague answer from Bill Belichick, right? So then today, Bill Belichick at another press conference, and Mike Reese followed up. What did you mean by that?
When Mark Daniels had asked you about Jarrett and about his two relief appearances and just if you were happy with his development and what you've seen from him this season, and at the end of the answer, I think you had mentioned, but that's not really the point. And I was just wondering what was the point in the context of that back and forth there?
Sometimes there's situations in a game where you can put somebody in, but we're trying to win the game. So that's what we're here for, is to win the game. So it was the opposite situation last week with the Chargers, but the point's to try to win. I mean, that's what's important to us.
Okay, so Bill said today that it's about winning, because last night he said that's not really the point. He expanded on that today, and he essentially just said, well, it was about winning. So Bill is acknowledging that maybe in some situations, Jarrett Stidham gives the Patriots a better chance to win games than Cam Newton does. He actually said last night, or he said today about last night's game, it's about winning. That's what it was about. He put Stidham into the game. It's 24-3, but it's about winning. So is it time for Bill to take the ball away from Cam Newton and put Jarrett Stidham into the games? 617-779-7937 is the number. So that's Bill saying, I'm not just giving him reps last night. I thought he gave us the best chance to win. He didn't directly said that, but he said what we were doing, we're trying to win the football game. So I just don't understand the philosophy here as it pertains to Bill and the quarterback situation. He's acknowledging that Stidham in certain situations gives his team a better chance. And that's when you find yourself in a hole and you need to throw the football, right? That's essentially what he's saying. He thought Stidham gave him a chance last night when they're down 24-3. He's trying to win the football game. So clearly he thinks when he falls behind, Stidham gives him a better chance. So if that's the case, why is Bill so committed to Cam Newton? I don't understand why he's so committed to Cam as the starter if he thinks in some situations Stidham gives him a better chance. He said it's about winning, right? So you have 10 days before the Miami game. Plenty of time to get Stidham prepared for an actual start. This would be like the perfect time to put Stidham in after you have extra days to prepare and get him up and ready, right? And let me also ask you this. Is it so far-fetched that based on what we've seen from Cam Newton that Jarrett Stidham is not a better chance to win football games? Bill's talking about winning. Isn't it possible that Jarrett Stidham just gives you a better opportunity to win because he can actually throw? And you see him, like, when he takes his dropbacks, he moves so much more fluidly than Cam Newton does. And I know that Cam's been dealing with an abdominal injury, and maybe that's part of it. Jay Glazer had the report on Fox before the game that that was a real injury, that it wasn't just a little something, that, no, that's been really bothering Cam the past couple of weeks or so. He said he felt better entering last night's game, did Jay Glazer. But obviously, Cam's not moving the same way. Jarrett Stidham looks way more comfortable in his short stints in the pocket. But Bill gave a clear message to the team that we're still in this last night. Clearly, that's what he outlined to the team after the game. I'm sure he ripped into them for the poor performance, but he also has them still believing they have a chance. Again, 4% chance. And they know that they need a lot of help. And quite frankly, does anyone think they're beating both Miami and Buffalo after that piss-poor performance that we witnessed on Thursday Night Football? I certainly don't. So is Bill just sticking with Cam? A legitimate question, is he just sticking with Cam until the team is mathematically eliminated, until it's definitely over? Because that's what it sounds like to me. He still believes Cam gives the team the best shot to win, so he's sticking with Cam, which I totally disagree with, but that's Bill's take. He thinks that Cam gives them the best chance to win. If he takes out Cam, is he signaling to the locker room they're packing it in and that this is over? I don't agree with that. If he puts Cam Newton on the bench, I feel like the message he'd be sending to the locker room is that, no, at this point, Jarrett Stidham gives us a better chance to win football games. And I don't know how any player in that locker room could look at Bill and say, you're just mailing it in by putting Stidham in, because Cam Newton has sucked for the majority of the season. That's just the reality of it. He has not played well, especially the past couple of weeks. And last night, he has an interception at an inopportune time on a screen pass when you're down 10-0 and your defense just set you up. So I don't believe Bill would lose the locker room or anything along those lines if he decided to go to Stidham. So I don't understand that part of the argument. And then I'd also look at this. At this point, when you look at the other components to this, is it the incentives? Because there's no way Bill's doing this because the player is playing for next to nothing in terms of the money, right? Because of the incentives, he wants Cam to hit his incentives. Bill wouldn't coach that way. And most of the stuff's already gone. He's not making the Pro Bowl. He's not getting an all-pro bonus. That's off the table. He's not getting a playoff win. All that crap's off the table, right? The only thing that's still out there is, like, if he plays 80% of the snaps, Cam gets $2 million. If he plays 90% of the snaps, it's $2.25 million. I would imagine he'd probably already qualify for the 80%. And by the way, the 90% is right around the corner as well, and he probably wouldn't reach the 90, but that's it. So he hit most of the possible incentives. Like, he's never going to get the Pro Bowl or the All-Pro bonus, but Bill's never thought that way. I don't believe Bill Belichick would make a decision based on the contract he gave the player, but based on the situation, that's the only theory that kind of makes sense. There's no way he believes that Cam Newton at this point gives the team the best chance to win. He acknowledged that it wasn't about that last night when they put Jared Stidham into the game. It wasn't about development. It wasn't about getting reps. He was trying to win the football game. So he's acknowledging in some situations, Jared Stidham is the better option than Cam Newton. All right, but here is where I'm at with Bill. What's stopping Bill from making this change is his ego. We're all watching that Cam can't throw the football. He looks like he's throwing a damn shot put. That motion is ugly. He can't get the ball where it needs to go. So there's no way that anybody can watch Cam Newton play and say, yeah, he's throwing the football well. Here's the bottom line with Cam. He's broken. He just can't throw a football anymore. He reminds me of, if you've ever seen that movie, Angels in the Outfield, the kid goes up to Tony Danza's character, Mel Clark. He says, you used to be Mel Clark. He was a washed up pitcher at the time. It's like Cam Newton. It's like, oh yeah, he looks like Cam Newton, but he's not Cam Newton anymore. Right? It's like when Shaquille O'Neal played for the Celtics. He was done. He could barely get up and down the floor. That's what Cam Newton is right now. He's done. He's a shot fighter. His career is over. So when you just look at it from that perspective, there was the famous quote in Ann O'Connor's book about Belichick where an assistant said, we could win with any top 15 quarterback. Now, clearly, Cam is nowhere near top 15 in the league. But the point being is we could put quarterback X in there and make it work. Clearly, that's not true with Cam Newton. But even though it's over, the Patriots aren't running the table and all that other stuff is not going to work out in your favor. You have a 4% chance to make the playoffs. Bill's holding out hope that they can make the playoffs, even though it's a 4% chance, and he can get it right with Cam. That's the thing here. Think about Cam Newton. He's having his worst throwing season ever. And that's a bad look for Bill. I believe at this particular point in time that Bill, it's not even about Cam versus Stidham right now in terms of, oh, is Stidham better than Cam? Is Cam better than Stidham? I don't even think it's about that anymore. I think he's making this choice for what suits him best, not what best suits the team. And I never thought I'd say that about Bill. Bill wants to get it right with Cam because if he doesn't, he has failed. Now, I already believe this was a failure. It was worth taking a shot on Cam. It cost you nothing. I'm not saying it was a bad move at the time. I wanted Cam here. I liked the move at the time. But I've taken the L on this. Bill should just take the damn L. Move on. It's over. Stop playing the guy. He's averaging 181 passing yards per game. That's the worst of his NFL career, and the only guys in the NFL that are worse than him in that category, Sam Darnold and Andy Dalton. His quarterback rating, 78, worst of his career. The only quarterbacks that are worse, benched Carson Wentz, about to lose his job, Sam Darnold, as he gets out in New York, Daniel Jones and horrible Drew Lock. His QBR is 46, worst of his career, 29th in the league. Cam regressed as a passer here. You're not fixing him, Bill. The man is broken. Bottom line, B-R-O-K-E-N, broken. That's what Cam Newton is. Now, we can say it's his age and the injury, sure. And we can also point to the lack of weapons, although when it comes to that, Bill's the one that put this group of weapons together. But when you just look at Bill, I believe that his ego will not allow him to just throw up the white flag, acknowledge it isn't going to work with Cam, and move on. How else do you make sense of keeping him in there? Bill acknowledged last night that it was not about Stidham just getting time. He was trying to win the game. So by saying that, he is revealing and acknowledging that Stidham is the better passer. He's actually saying it without saying it's Stidham's the better option. This team needs a passer. He refuses to give Stidham a chance. I don't understand it. Bill has never been a guy that's committed to, say, paying a guy incentives and saying, all right, I'm going to give him a chance to reach the incentives. He did this crap with Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski where he gave them incentives he knew they were never going to reach. He doesn't care about that crap. So there's no way he's looking at Cam Newton and say, I want the guy to, he played on a cheap deal. I want him to reach his incentives. Bill doesn't operate that way. No. Bill has always been the guy that doesn't care about a draft spot or whatever. So just because Cam's a big name and a former MVP, that should not be the reason he's still playing. So the only logical conclusion in this, the only logical conclusion, I should say, this is about Bill proving he can win with Cam Newton. There's nothing else that actually makes sense. And here's the reality of it for Bill. You can't win with this guy. He's horrible. He can't throw. That's kind of an issue in the NFL. You guys don't trust him to throw the football. I mean, that's the other thing. Is it's so weird that Belichick keeps going back to this guy when he doesn't trust him to throw the ball. It's almost as if he wants to prove he can get it done with a quarterback that can't throw. You had a goal-to-go situation from the six. You guys didn't throw the ball. You don't trust him to throw the football. Think about how many times this season Bill has defended Cam's poor play. Think about how many times Bill's complimented Cam for other things like leadership and stuff along those lines. He's defending not only Cam when he does that, he's defending himself. He does not want to admit failure. And quite frankly, this was not out of the question. When you signed Cam, there was a possibility. Now, I thought it would work just like Bill did. Obviously, Bill knows a lot more than I do, but I thought it would work with Cam Newton. But there was a chance. I mean, we could all acknowledge when they signed Cam this offseason that, you know what, he may be damaged goods. He's had a shoulder procedure. He's had a foot procedure. There was that chance. So there was a chance that that could happen to begin with, and it would have nothing to do with Bill. And I don't think it has much to do with Bill and Josh McDaniels. I believe the player is just cooked that he's done. But Bill Vaughn, it's not even that big of an L. You barely paid the guy. It's not like you went out there and you identified a quarterback first or second or third or fifth or seventh overall in the draft and he's just a bust. It's not like that. It's not as if you signed Cam Newton to this multi-year contract extension worth $30 million per season and you were saying, hey, Cam, here's the keys to the damn franchise. None of that has happened. You signed him to an incentive-laden deal. It didn't work out. Who cares? Move on. Why else is he still playing him? There's no way he thinks that Cam Newton gives him a better chance to win right now than Jarrett Stidham. You put Jarrett Stidham in last night, and you said it wasn't about development. It wasn't about getting reps. It was giving the chance a team, giving the team a chance to win. The only chance you have to win with Cam Newton is you get out ahead in a game, your defense plays great, your special teams plays great, and you can run. It's a very tough way to win football games consistently. So just move on. Give Jarrett Stidham a chance. I don't understand it at this point. The only thing that makes sense to me, and maybe you disagree, it's 617-779-7937. The only thing that makes sense to me is it's about Bill's ego. Bill wants to prove to everybody out there that as long as we still have a chance mathematically to get into the postseason, and again, that chance is 4%, he's going to keep trotting Cam Newton out there to prove he can make it right with Cam. I think it really sits with Bill. I think Bill's really stewing over the fact, and I don't even think it's Bill or Josh McDaniels' fault. I believe it eats at Bill that Cam Newton has regressed as a passer here with the Patriots. It's more about Cam and the wear and tear on his body and the injuries and the mechanics sucking. You can't fix a guy that has had bad mechanics for a decade in the NFL and going back to his college career. You can't fix him here in a year and less than a year without really a traditional offseason. You are never going to be able to fix the guy. You just can't do it. He's not fixable. The man is broken at this particular point in time. I just believe Bill can't handle that. He can't handle that this situation with Cam, it's an F. It's a failure. It didn't work out. And it's not as if this was this big, huge deal like you paid him all this money or you used a high draft pick on the guy. Just take the L and move on. Just give Jarrett Stidham an opportunity. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. If you want to weigh in on the Cam Newton situation, is it time to give Stidham a chance? Certainly welcome to do so. Also, I'm starting to get really worried about the Pats' future. They may be the worst team in the division in the near future. I'll tell you why next here on WEI.
That's not really the point.
This is WEEI Late Night with Brian Barrett.
Are you concerned about being benched for next week or anything like that?
No, that's not my call.
Jarrett Stidham is taking over here at quarterback.
Bill, I wanted to ask you about just the quarterback. You're going to stick with Cam next week at quarterback?
Yeah, great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that. Cam's our quarterback.
In this run defense, they had no answer for 12 personnel. They got big, and they absolutely dominated the line of scrimmage. They pushed them around the field. They didn't set the edge in the run game, and they just ran zone. It wasn't anything like reverses, misdirection, anything like that. They literally ran it right down their throats with inside, outside zone.
All right, we're with you up until midnight. What should the Patriots do with the quarterback situation? 617-779-7937. And why is Bill sticking with Cam? I believe it's ego, and that's it. Bill wants to fix Cam Newton. How many players have we seen come here over the years? Not quarterbacks, but other positions. Kyle Van Noy, Detroit didn't want him anymore, right? These guys that don't perform well on a different team. Bill loves bringing them in here, fixing them up, having a role for them. The problem is Cam Newton just can't play anymore. And it doesn't have anything to do with Bill or Josh McDaniels. It's not like they haven't gotten enough out of the player. We've all watched him play. We all have eyes and see him throw the football. It looks like he's throwing a damn shot put. He has one of the weaker arms in the NFL. He can't throw with anticipation. He doesn't have a big arm. He can't make all the necessary throws. That's just the reality of where he's at as a player, and he's never going to get that back. So it's not about Bill and it's not about Josh McDaniels in terms of the coaching. It's just the guy sucks. It's not like you took this big risk signing him. You barely are paying him anything in terms of NFL money. Now, all of us would love that type of money, but in terms of NFL money, you're paying him nothing. So move on from the player. Why else would he still be out there? The only thing that I can contend, the only thing that I can come up with is Bill wants to prove he was right. And Bill wants to prove he can make it work with Cam. You know what? Right now, nobody can make it work with Cam because he sucks. He can't throw the football. So give Jarrett Stidham a damn chance. And this whole idea like, oh, that'll be punting on the season. Okay, well, you have a 4% chance at making the playoffs anyway. And I don't know how anybody in that locker room, considering the fact that Belichick has, what, 8 rings in total. I don't know how anybody in that locker room wouldn't look at Bill after he made a decision like that and say, oh, maybe he's doing it because it gives us the best chance to win. Everybody in that locker room sees Cam play each and every week. Everybody sees him throw the ball into the ground. Everybody sees him throw pick sixes on a screen pass. Everybody's watching. Everybody's seeing this crap, okay? So when you just look at it from that perspective, I don't know why that would be a tough sell. Only thing that is keeping Cam on the field is Bill wants to make Cam work, and I can't understand anything besides ego right now in terms of why Bill is doing this. Cam doesn't give you the best chance to win. And we don't know if Jarrett Stidham is going to be a massive improvement, but he can't be worse than Cam. I don't know how anybody could be worse than Cam. 617-779-7937, the number. What should the Patriots do with the quarterback situation? Let's get to Rich and Dedham. What's up, Rich?
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Good, man. Hey, do me a favor. Turn down your radio.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, all good.
There we go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. What's going on?
So I agree, you know, pretty much 80, 90% of everything you're saying, I agree.
All right.
All right? His ego. But the problem is, my problem with the only thing you're bringing Stidham, I mean, that's not even an option anymore. The kid sucks.
How do you know that, though, Rich? How do you know?
How many times have we seen him out there?
Yeah,
already?
But Rich, okay, to be fair to Stidham, that's in mop-up duty when he doesn't know he's going to play. And actually, he looked good against the Chargers. I thought he looked fine last night. He definitely looked better than Cam Newton. So all those other chances, that's in mop-up duty. How do we know how he does with a week to prepare for a game? He's never had that in his NFL career. And Rich, at this point, what do you have to lose? The season's done. It's over. You might as well see if Stidham has anything, if he can play. Because we know,
right,
Cam Newton can't play, and we know he's not going to be the long-term solution. In fact, he's not even the short-term solution. The guy blows.
Great. I'm happy you said that. So here's what I have to say. His ego. Belichick, his ego is going to ruin this team.
Yeah. But hey, Rich, there I appreciate the phone call tonight, man. That's the only explanation I can come up with. That Bill just wants to make sure he can get it right with Cam. But the problem is, you're fighting a losing battle. You're never going to get the situation right with Cam Newton because he's not a good player anymore. He can't do things that you need an NFL quarterback in 2020 to be able to do. You need your quarterback to be able to throw the football with some level of consistency, and Cam can't do any of that. How many routes does he throw well? Not a lot of them. He can't throw screen passes. We saw it again last night. And he doesn't protect the football. So he can't even, Cam's not even a good game manager, right? He can't even manage a game because he turns the ball over so much. Let's get to Phillies in New Hampshire tonight. What's going on, Phil?
Yeah, I just want to congratulate you for one thing.
Yep.
I've been listening to this Patriots nonsense, fall. You're the only person now that is going to address the future of the Patriots. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know this too, it's bleak.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
I'm 70 years old. If I live to be 90, the Patriots will never get a quarterback as good as Josh Allen. We'll start with that. And
wow,
as far as Stidham being the next man in, no, they won't. They won't get another better quarterback than for 20 years. It took Buffalo 30 years to get a better quarterback than Jim Kelly. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, look at Washington, Phil. They're still looking for a quarterback.
If you think Jarrett Stidham is the answer, go find me the last time a guy completed 5 passes for 19 yards.
Hey, Phil.
He sucks, too.
Phil, hold on. Phil, hold on. I never said that Jarrett Stidham was definitively the answer. My point was I would give Jarrett Stidham a chance now instead of Cam Newton. We know Cam can't play. What's the worst thing that could happen putting Jarrett Stidham into the final 3 games? You don't make the playoffs, you're not making him anyway. Might as well see what he is.
No. You're going to find out that he can't play either.
Maybe.
Which leads you to lead to Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan and all these pincushions is not going to solve any problem either. You might be in trouble down the road. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and Phil, the problem with the Matthew Stafford, the Matt Ryan types is, okay, so those guys aren't the elite-level quarterbacks, right? They're not the Russell Wilson. They're not the Mahomes. They're not the Aaron Rodgers.
You're not going to get those people.
No, Phil, I understand that. But my point is this. Those guys can elevate a roster and make people around them better. With Stafford and Ryan, they don't do that. When things are great around them, like when Matt Ryan went to the Super Bowl and Julio Jones is playing at a great level and Kyle Shanahan's a great offensive mind and you had all the weapons around Matt Ryan, okay, then he can make a run. But the problem is you put one of those guys in the Patriots, they don't have the roster to support that. So it would just be, now they would be better than Cam, but you're not going anywhere with those guys because you don't have the necessary pieces on the roster.
That's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
Their future is horrible.
I agree.
And don't throw Mitch Trubisky into that pile either, please.
I'm with you
please.
On that. Phil, hey, please. Good stuff tonight, Phil. Appreciate it. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. I'm with him on that, and I'll get into the future in a second here because I do agree with him in this sense. It is very bleak for the Patriots. Let's get to Dan. He's in Boston, wants to weigh in on Cam Newton. Dan, what's up, man?
Hey, Brian.
Hey.
I think they benefit this year of Cam Newton and Belichick by the fact that there's no fans in the stands right now. If there were 68,000 people screaming and booing, I think Kraft, he's very sensitive. You know, he's a really big ego. And I think Kraft would be very sensitive to the fact that the fans would turn on the team and him and Belichick. And the fact that there's no one there to see Cam, I think is very important. It's helping him this year.
Dan, you know what? I never thought about that, but it's a very interesting point because if you think about it from this perspective, we were saying for 2 months when the Red Sox were sucking up the joint, imagine if there were fans at Fenway, how badly they were being booed. And everybody around here, yeah. Dan, it seems like everybody likes Cam, the person. He says all the right things. He always says when he sucks, which is basically every game, save like two or three this season. He's accountable and all that. Everybody likes, nobody has any problems with Cam personally or any of that stuff. But if you're playing at home against San Francisco and Cam was playing the way he was, you're right. He would be getting booed. And I'm wondering how they would handle that. And I'm wondering how Cam in particular would handle that because he's not getting the negative feedback that he otherwise would be. So it's an interesting point. I never thought about that.
And Kraft is very sensitive about his image, the image of the team. I think he'd pull Belichick aside next season if Cam we're crapping up the house, you know, halfway through the season and say, Bill, do you think we should make a change here?
Yeah, look, appreciate the call, Dan. There's no way that they can actually come back and have Cam Newton again be the quarterback. I just don't know how you can do it at this particular point in time. It'd be a really tough pill to swallow. But I'm starting to get worried about the future of this Patriots team. I really am. Because you start to look at this division right now, teams around you are getting a lot better, and you look like you're in a complete free-for-all, or free-fall, I should say. Let's get to Eric in Auburn. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how you doing? Hope you're having a good night. I just had a call regarding Cam Newton with the abdominal injury that he has.
Yep.
If this would be a prime position for Bill Belichick to take advantage of putting him on IR or just benching him for a week, see how Stidham does. If Stidham does good, then probably just put him on IR for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
and just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm with you, Eric. I appreciate the phone call. I think that he should be going to Jarrett Stidham at this point. I don't understand the point of leaving Cam Newton in. It just doesn't make sense to me anymore. I don't even know if Belichick truly believes that Cam gives his team the best chance to win. I believe it's more about Bill trying to fix the player. He went out there. He signed him in the offseason. He wants to fix the player. Problem is the guy can't play. He's broken. You got to move on. Give Jarrett Stidham a chance. What are you losing? You're not going to the playoffs anyway. Might as well find out if Stidham's any good, if there's anything there with the player, right? I mean, you guys were all big on him in the offseason, and by you guys, I mean the Patriots. They put it out there through the Patriots propaganda machine this offseason. Oh, Stidham. Yeah, Stidham looks like he's the guy. Heck, I was buying into it at one point. I'm like, all right, he's got to be decent, right? I mean, they're hyping him up like crazy. And then Cam Newton comes in, he takes the job, and then we never hear from Jarrett Stidham again. Jarrett Stidham doesn't even win the backup job. But at this point, you got a couple of games left in the season. Might as well find out if he can play. But I look at the future of this team right now. Oh, my God. The reality of where they're at right now, you aren't good in the present. You're 6-7, and your future doesn't look good. The only reason that a Patriots fan would be optimistic right now is blind faith in Bill Belichick. That's it. What else are you banking on? So when you look at the division, as of right now, you have the worst long-term outlook. The Bills are the best team right now, and they'll probably lose Brian Daboll this offseason to a head coaching gig, and we'll see how that translates, if that really hurts the team, although he's basically left a blueprint for what the offense should be. But Josh Allen, I can't deny this guy has taken a serious step forward. He went from a looking like a bust for a couple of years to being a really good player. 283 yards a game, completing nearly 70% of his passes, 26 touchdowns, 5 picks. He's been really good. Plus, you have a great coach there in Sean McDermott, who's now been to the playoffs 3 out of his first 4 seasons. The first year they weren't trying to win, he got to the postseason. And then you look at the Dolphins. So the Bills are headed in the right direction. The Dolphins, in year 2 of Brian Flores, they enter week 14 with a playoff spot. Their defense is second in NFL opponents' points per game, second in the NFL in opponents' points per game. So Flores went from a team that was tanking when he got there less than 2 years ago to a team that now has an elite defensive unit. And when you look at the fact that they may have their quarterback, we'll see what Tua is down the stretch of the season. Hasn't turned the ball over in terms of interceptions. Now, he hasn't had the splash plays like Herbert or Burrow, but the Dolphins have a great coach, Brian Flores. I think we would all agree he's done a great job. And they might have the quarterback of the future. And if they really want to, if they really come down the stretch of the season and they lose 3 of 4, they lose 4 in a row, they don't make the postseason, although I think they still have the Jets left, so they can't lose all of them. But anyway, they could draft another quarterback if they really wanted to. And you look at it, they have the Texans' first-round draft pick. So if it really turns out, and the Texans right now are scheduled to draft 9th, if it really turns out to be like, yeah, we just really aren't sold on Tua, they could do the Josh Rosen situation where they moved on, did the Cardinals, they moved on from Rosen. They said, all right, we're going to take Murray. You could really do that if you wanted to, if you're the Dolphins. Now, I believe they like the player, but so if you look at the Dolphins, they have the coach. They obviously have changed the culture. And when you also look at the fact that when you look at the Dolphins, they may have the quarterback in place. And if not, they have a better avenue to get the future quarterback than you do as the Patriots. You look at the Jets, who have been a complete joke. Joe Douglas, in my mind, has been an impressive GM. Look at his first 2 picks this year. Mekhi Becton, franchise left tackle. Denzel Mims, ever since he came back from the injury at the beginning of the season, he's flashed 54 yards per game. Better than N'Keal Harry throughout his NFL career. And you look at Joe Douglas, and you start to think about, all right, now they have the first pick in the draft, who's going to be Trevor Lawrence, the best draft prospect since Andrew Luck. If you're the Jets now, and I understand ownership's been weird there for years. Woody Johnson's coming back from the UK, though. But, and I'm not telling you he's a good owner, I'm just saying that it's going to be a different ownership situation going forward. And you also look at the fact that Joe Douglas is going to get an incredible quarterback. He's made some really good picks in the last draft. You're easily going to be able to get an elite coach. Wait, the ownership's a little bit weird, but they have a good GM and they have a good quarterback. Yeah, I'll sign up for that. Who wouldn't sign up for that? Trevor Lawrence, a good GM, and Joe Douglas? So when you look at the division, all these teams are set up better for the future, even the Jets, than the Patriots right now. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to John in Connecticut. John, what's up?
How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, before I get all over Cam Newton, which I really don't want to do, I want people to take a look at the first play from scrimmage last night. He's standing there in the gun with his eyes closed saying a prayer. I looked at my son and said, are you effing kidding me?
He does that every game,
too. He's a clown.
Yeah, this I don't have that big of an issue with that.
Well, as far as being a businessman, I have no... How can the two crafts be looking at this going, is this really what has happened to our business? The guy stole my thunder when he said, could you imagine if there's 65,000 strong in that stadium watching this pathetic team?
Yeah, they'd be all over him. It's sad. It really is, John. Yeah, I mean, they were embarrassing last night. And John, like at this point in the season, we're 14 games into this. I know Cam Newton sucks. What I didn't expect last night was for the offensive line that's been one of the better units on the team. They were horrible.
They got bulldozed.
The defense was horrible, and the coach wasn't prepared for the game. Those three things I did not think would happen last night.
But there are things that happened last night when N'Keal Harry made that catch down the sideline. That's what we expect. He goes on the sideline. He's smiling, high-fiving everybody. I'm going, my man, you know you're down 17 nothing.
Yeah, I hate that crap. I'm with you on that. I mean, come on. You're a first-round pick. You're a major bust, and you're celebrating a catch in a game you're getting blown out in.
As far as Stidham, I think if you give him the full week's practice of all reps, you're the starter, you're doing the game plan, what have you got to lose?
Yeah, at this point, why not? I mean, we know Cam's not the future, John, and I appreciate the phone call. That's where I'm at. We know that Cam's not the future, so why don't you give Stidham an opportunity? Why not? You're not going to lose the locker room, and I don't think Bill's worried about any of that. I told you what I think is I believe Bill believes he can fix Cam, and the reality is nobody can fix Cam. There's nobody in this world that can fix Cam Newton as a quarterback. Let's get to Mike in Boston. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
A reporter asked Belichick, you know, do you think you should have put Stidham in?
Yeah.
And take Cam Newton out? And he said, and he paused for a while before he answered the question.
Right.
And he said, well, we're trying to win the game. Okay. Well, that right there tells you if he puts Stidham in, he's not going to win the game. That's why you don't see Stidham in the
Mike,
game.
That's not you're getting the questions confused. That's not what happened. Mike.
No, Mike.
That's not what happened.
It was all on EEI all day today.
Mike, we just played it. We literally just played the audio. I appreciate the phone call. That's not what happened. What Bill Belichick said last night is he was asked about Jarrett Stidham, and he said he was asked about his development. He said it's not really about that right now. Today, when Mike Reese followed up about that, he said, what did you mean last night when you said it wasn't really about that? And he talked about Stidham. He said, we're trying to win games, which means the reason he put Stidham into the game is because at that point, down 24-3, he felt as if you had a better chance to win that game with Jarrett Stidham than Cam Newton. That's what he was saying last night. That's where I just get confused by this whole situation with Bill. He's trying to win football games, but at this point, your season's pretty much over. I get it. Mathematically, you're not technically eliminated. You have a 4% chance to get in. But even if you just look at it from who gives you the best chance to win, I think you have a real convincing argument that Jarrett Stidham does right now, because at least he can do this one thing that's really something that we never see from NFL quarterbacks. It's called throw. Cam can't throw. Jarrett Stidham can throw. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. If you want to weigh in on the Cam Bill situation, the Cam Stidham situation, are you with me? It's time to give Stidham a chance. Or do you think they should just ride this thing out for some inexplicable reason with Cam Newton? Plus, I do want to get to this. Fox put up a graphic last night that pointed out how bad Bill Belichick has been at drafting receivers. And now people are bashing Bill here on the radio today. It's been happening all day and all over social media. And I believe that graphic was completely misleading. We'll get to that in just a little bit here on WEI.
We're right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
On that interception, obviously, we saw that Damien got held a little bit by Aaron. So is there anything possible that you can do on a play like that where you are anticipating him to be somewhere that he wasn't able to go?
Yeah, I mean, just live to fight another down. And we're in a position where we're just trying to, you know, make the most of what we had. We know that this was a stingy defense, and, you know, rightfully so. And, you know, probably pressed too much. And if I had it back, I'd just throw it on the ground.
He's right about that. He should have just thrown the ball into the ground. You don't need to take a chance there. You're already in field goal range. Your defense came up with a big-time turnover. Miles Bryant, incredible interception. Basically took the ball out of Robert Woods' hands. Now, you give Jared Goff credit for making a terrible throw. That guy sucks. And unfortunately, the Patriots weren't able to take advantage of their weakness, which was Jared Goff last night, because they fell behind by so much. You didn't put Jared Goff in a position where he needed to throw because the Rams are just running all over you and your offense on the other side couldn't do anything. But getting back to Cam, just throw that ball into the ground. He says we need to live another play. He said we just needed to live another play. Well, you should have done that by throwing the ball into the ground. You can't just throw a screen pass blind like that. Damian Harris got held up. Throw the ball into the ground. See, that's the issue with Cam Newton. He is terrible situationally. The only thing Cam Newton does well now is in short yardage situations, although last night he wasn't. Ordinarily, he's pretty good running the football in short yardage situations. He's a good goal line running back. Other than that, he's not really good at anything right now. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Steve in Rhode Island. Steve, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you tonight, Brian? Great show. Enjoy it. I'm a first-time caller.
Appreciate it, man. What do you got?
So I was just thinking, listening to the comments tonight, what your thoughts were. This, to me, might go back a little further, and this might be a little bit out there, but Cam Newton was the guy, according to Belichick. He was his pick. Stidham really isn't. Maybe that's why he's not doing it. I think this might go all the way to back to Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I'm not saying Jimmy Garoppolo has been a great asset for San Francisco, but I think that Bill is still burned by the fact that he basically was forced to trade away Jimmy G, and he was his guy. And maybe he's just stuck on the fact that Stidham really isn't the guy he wanted to be playing at this point in the career once Brady was gone. But maybe perhaps he's just too obstinate about the fact that he's got to keep playing Cam just because.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point, Steve, and I appreciate the phone call. When you look at it in terms of the whole Jimmy Garoppolo thing, I'm sure there's a part of Bill right now that says, look, we don't have a quarterback to Robert Kraft. You made me trade the guy away. I thought that Jimmy Garoppolo was the guy after Tom. I identified him as the guy after Tom. I used a second-round pick on him. You made me trade him away. This is why I didn't want to trade him, because I wanted to just go from Tom to Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm sure there's a part of Belichick that thinks that way. I'm sure there is, because Belichick never wanted to be in a position where he needed to draft a guy, right? He wanted to have the replacement in-house, ready to go. That's what Bill Belichick wanted, and that opportunity was taken away from him when he was forced to trade Jimmy G away. And part of the reason that you know that's true in terms of how pissed Bill was is, of course, he had the Seth Wickersham reporting at the time, but he didn't take the best deal. So Bill could have had plenty of opportunities to draft the next quarterback if he actually made a better deal. The Browns at the deadline were offering a first-round pick for Jimmy G. Bill didn't do it. Why? Because he cared about Jimmy G. And I think it was more about he cared about the guy that he identified as the next franchise quarterback, that he went to a place with Kyle Shanahan, great offensive mind, where he could succeed. That's what I believe was more important to Bill. It wasn't so much about the player, and I know he loves Jimmy G, but it was more so about the fact that, you know what? Let's get him to a place where he shines so he looks good and it looks bad for Robert Kraft and it doesn't look bad for me. I was forced to make this trade. I sent him to a place where I thought he could thrive and succeed, and look at what he's doing and look what we have at quarterback. I'm sure there's a part of Bill that thinks that way. By the way, Fox put up this graphic last night on the broadcast. I'm sure you've seen it by now. If you didn't see it last night, you've seen it on Twitter, social media, etc. It listed all the receivers Bill drafted since 2010. The Taylor Prices, the Josh Boyces, the Aaron Dobsons, Braxton Berrios, N'Keal Harry, Malcolm Mitchell, etc. Although Malcolm Mitchell was good for a year and he got injured, played a big role in that Super Bowl game. And so they put up then this list of the entire NFL in terms of receivers drafted, saying the Pats receivers since 2010 that Bill drafted have the fewest receptions, the fewest receiving yards, the fewest receiving touchdowns, and the fewest 100-yard games. So, look, I'm not trying to defend Bill after the game last night, and I'm not trying to defend Bill in terms of the N'Keal Harry pick or anything along those lines, because clearly that was a horrible pick. But this whole idea like Bill hasn't been able to draft receivers, until the past two seasons, how much has that really affected the organization? Now, we'll all acknowledge the Harry pick sucked, okay, and it significantly hurt this roster. But if you look at those guys outside of N'Keal Harry, he didn't use like high draft picks on these receivers that they're pointing out, oh, the Patriots have been sucky for 10 years drafting receivers. Okay, well, Aaron Dobson was the 59th overall pick. He's a second rounder. Okay, yeah, Keenan Allen went after him. But it's not as if you were using high draft capital on Aaron Dobson, 59th pick. It's not like you were using a first-round pick or even an early second-round pick. Outside of that pick, Bill was consistently drafting guys late, like fourth-rounders and seventh-rounders. Like, they're putting guys up there last night that were drafted in the seventh round, as if, oh, massive failure that Bill didn't hit on this seventh-round receiver. And as I mentioned, until the last two seasons, when did the Patriots not have enough weapons? They had Edelman and Amendola for most of the last decade, part of Super Bowl teams, right? And that graphic also ignores the fact that Bill drafted arguably the best tight end ever in Rob Gronkowski, and definitely the best red zone threat for an eight-year period. So, and outside of that big three of Edelman, Amendola, and Gronk, right, for like those prime years in terms of the middle portion of the decade, outside of those big three, you had guys like Brandon LaFell come in here, have nearly 1,000 receiving yards and 14 with seven touchdowns. You had Brandon Cooks come here, have over 1,000 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns, and 17. Malcolm Mitchell, as a rookie, by the way, had a good season and really came on in that Atlanta Super Bowl. You had a tight end in Martellus Bennett come in here for a year and give you north of 700 yards and 7 touchdowns. So that graphic up there, it didn't hurt the Patriots that they missed on a 7th-round pick and a 4th-round pick and whatever it was in the draft. You want to outline Aaron Dobson, fine, yeah, that was a miss. Nobody's defending that. But it's completely misleading that Joe Buck and Trey Aikman on Fox last night, they're showing that graphic about how were the Patriots during those years. Like, oh my God, they really missed on all these receivers. Well, okay, this is how they were during that stretch when they apparently failed in terms of the receiving drafting, or the receiver drafting, I should say. They won the division every year. They played in 9 AFC championship games. They played in 5 Super Bowls and they won 3. So they completely dominated the decade. And I'm not trying to defend Bill today after what happened last night, but that graphic was totally unfair. What an absolute joke that was. Drafting receivers was not an emphasis for years for good reason. So that graphic was a flat-out joke. So when you just think about it, okay, the Patriots had enough weapons for Tom Brady until 19. Now, if you want to start with 19 and talk about the weapons, I'm all ears. Like the fact that Gronk retired, you didn't have a replacement for Gronk. The fact that you used your first-round pick in 19 on N'Keal Harry, yeah, bad pick. Everybody will acknowledge that. But to act like this has been this systemic issue within the organization for a decade is crap. It isn't true. The Patriots have been going to Super Bowls and winning Super Bowls with good players. Danny Amendola, good player for the Patriots. Edelman was a Super Bowl MVP, really good player. Rob Gronkowski, the best tight end in the NFL for an 8-year period. So don't give me this whole crap about Belichick missing receivers in the draft and putting up this unfair graphic about some guys we never heard of before because he missed them in the 7th round. I mean, come on, give me a break. It didn't affect the team. It would be one thing if the Patriots sucked offensively for 10 years because of the receiving stuff in the draft. That wasn't the case. That graphic could not have been more misleading, and it was completely unfair. And everybody today is just going with it. Oh, look at this crap about Belichick. He can't draft receivers. Wasn't that embarrassing for Bill? No, it was embarrassing for Fox. That's who it was embarrassing for. They should have never put that crap up. That was dumb. Oh, my. N'Keal Harry, fine. You want to reference Aaron Dobson, although did Aaron Dobson affect the team? He was drafted in 13. How have the Patriots been since 13? Oh, yeah, they win the division every year, and they since Aaron Dobson was drafted, they won 3 Super Bowls. Oh, that pick really, really hamstrung the Patriots. Oh, my God. Imagine if they imagine what would have happened if this team didn't draft Aaron Dobson. Oh, would they have won 3 Super Bowls? Oh, well, they did that anyway. I mean, come on. And they played in 4 since they drafted Aaron Dobson. So this whole idea, like, this has hurt the Patriots, stop. Let's get to Randy in Rhode Island. What's up, Randy?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good.
Just here to talk about Cam Newton, and I would pretty much rather see anyone else out there at this point. It's the guy throws the ball 5 yards and it goes right into the dirt. Like, who throws an interception on a screen pass? Like, every other pass you throw is in the ground, and then that one you throw for a pick 6, 70-yard touchdown.
I'm with you on that, man. Hey, appreciate the call tonight. Appreciate the call, yeah. I mean, I've said it multiple times. I want to sit him in there. But, man, that Fox graphic got me so mad last night. And the fact that everybody in the media, I heard it all over the station today, everybody in the media is basically, oh, my God, what an embarrassment for the Patriots. They weren't investing in wide receivers for like 5, 6, 7, 8 years. You know why? Because they had enough. And they went out and got veterans. Okay, so if you want to put the draft on this, was it worth giving up a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks, who helped Tom Brady win an MVP this season? Or in that season, 2017? Hey, come on. Brandon LaFell, they got him for nothing. The guy worked out. Like, they're acting like those picks completely hurt the franchise. Oh, yeah, did you forget the part where they won 3 Super Bowls and they played in 5 during that time that you're outlining? Hey, that was a clown-ass graphic, and the fact that everybody bought into it, like, oh, my God. It's because the Patriots suck right now. I'm not telling you that N'Keal Harry was a good pick. It was a sucky pick. DK Metcalf, everyone knows this. Terry McLaurin, all these guys. A.J. Brown went after. We all know this. Okay, so it hurts you right now because N'Keal Harry's not Metcalf, and he's not McLaurin, and he's not A.J. Brown. But let's not act like this whole thing that's been going on for a decade with the Patriots has been affected by the lack of production in terms of the receivers you drafted. And it just excludes the fact that, oh, you had the best tight end in the NFL for a decade, and he happened to be drafted in 2010. Let's not mention that. Let's not mention that you had arguably the best weapon in the entire NFL for 8 years. Let's exclude that from the equation. Joke. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. I will get into one NBA note before I leave for the night. And that's James Harden is still demanding a trade. And he apparently wants to go to any Eastern Conference contender that's not the Celtics. What does that say about Danny Ainge's team? We'll do that next here on WEI.
We're right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right, with you up until midnight, so we've done Patriots for the entire show. So I'm going to get to one Celtics note here. Sham Sharania from The Athletic reported earlier this week, sources, James Harden now has the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat among preferred trade destinations, along with the Philadelphia 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets. Wait, hold on. So Miami's a contender. They beat the Celtics last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. We all know that Brooklyn's a contender with Kyrie and with Kevin Durant. Philadelphia is a contender now that they have a competent coach with Ben Simmons and Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid. And the Bucks have the reigning defending two-time MVP and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Well, who's the other contender in the East? The Seas. They're not on his list. So everybody is on James Harden's list except the Celtics. How does that look for the Seas? So him and Giannis have gone back and forth in the media. And it's Milwaukee. He wants to go to Milwaukee. That's one of the teams he put on his list. Him and Giannis don't even like each other. Remember, Giannis picked Kemba over Harden for his team in the All-Star game. And when he was questioned about, oh, you're not going to take Harden, he said, quote, I want somebody who's going to pass the ball. Okay, then Harden fired back at Giannis. I wish I could be 7 feet, run, and just dunk. That takes no skill at all. I got to actually learn how to play basketball and how to have skill. I'll take that any day. So you have James Harden and Giannis going back and forth at it in the media. You have Milwaukee, not exactly a destination city for NBA players or anybody really. And he has the Bucks on the list over the Celtics, does James Harden. So any other contender in the East he'd go to except the Celtics. Not a good look for the Celtics. Certainly not that James Harden, a star in this league, and look, you can criticize him all you want, but he's a guy that's been an MVP. He's led the league in scoring, what, three times? And out of all the destinations in the East, all the contenders, you're the one place he doesn't want to go. Oh, yeah, in Canada. And you don't even know where that team's going to be long term. They can't go back to Toronto this year because the Canadian government said, yeah, we don't want U.S. teams coming in here. So they got to play their home games in Tampa this season. Okay, so they don't even have a home. So you and the team that doesn't have a home right now, those are the two teams that James Harden doesn't want to go to. So this whole idea, oh, yeah, the Celtics, in terms of the free agents, still there, or rather not even free agents here, guys that are looking for new destinations. He doesn't even want to come here with all these other places open. And quite frankly, I don't know how you could expect, if you're a Celtics fan, and I know people want them to shake it up, I'm with you on that. The core needed a change. Marcus Smart, I'm not the biggest fan of him. I've made that abundantly clear. If you go throughout the postseason last year, Marcus Smart hurt you in terms of taking too many shots. So I would not have minded, or I wouldn't have minded seeing Marcus Smart shipped out of town this particular offseason. I'm all for a shakeup with this team. But I don't know how Celtics fans could expect Danny Ainge to actually pull a trigger on a James Harden trade, right? Or even get involved in it. It would cost you Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and a bunch of picks, right? I don't even know how you could hold Danny Ainge accountable for not getting involved in this type of crap. First of all, James Harden has 2 years remaining on his contract with the Houston Rockets. He is somebody that got Chris Paul, right? He had the Rockets trade for Chris Paul, see if that would work. They made it to a Western Conference final. Then he didn't want Chris Paul anymore 2 years after that. So they gave up draft picks and they gave up players, Lou Williams. They gave up a ton of stuff. Montrezl Harrell in that trade to bring Chris Paul. 2 years he's done with him. Okay, then he said, I want Russ. So they give up a bunch of draft picks for Russell Westbrook, and Chris Paul is actually the better player. So they get ripped off in the deal, but James wants Russell Westbrook. Let's get him in here. And then he doesn't want to play with Russell Westbrook anymore, and now he doesn't want to play with you? This guy's a complete malcontent. So the Celtics are not on James Harden's list. Why would you want Danny Ainge to trade for him? You think he's going to act differently when he gets here? He doesn't want to be here. So if it doesn't go perfectly in year one, and he isn't getting as many shots as Jason Tatum, or he has to share the basketball too much, and they don't get to where they want to get to, which is the NBA Finals, what's James Harden going to do with 1 year remaining on his contract? He's going to get here and be the same damn malcontent he was with the Houston Rockets. So I just don't know. Like, there's a lot of things you can critique of Danny Ainge this offseason, and I've done it. Believe me. I was pissed they didn't pull off the sign-and-trade with the Pacers. I've said that multiple times. There's a lot of stuff that you can be critical of with Brad Stevens. I mean, his offense is too egalitarian. I call him Brad Bernie Sanders Stevens. Too many guys get opportunities. Everybody gets a shot, right? It's like Oprah. Hey, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. I hate Brad Stevens' offense. You need to orchestrate it more to the stars, the Jason Tatums, the Jaylen Browns of the world. Marcus Smart should not be taking more shots in an elimination game than Jaylen Brown. That's just dumb. That's illogical. It makes no sense whatsoever. So I've been critical of the Celtics a lot. I just don't know how anybody could be critical of Danny Ainge for not getting involved in this or not wanting to be involved in this. He's not on the preferred list of teams. You think somehow you're going to convince James Harden to stay here? Guy's already got his mind up, mind made up. I wouldn't get involved with this if I was Danny Ainge either. I don't blame him if he doesn't get involved in this. And I know Celtics, oh, well, how come you don't want a star? Well, because a star doesn't want to be here. And we've seen that before. Remember that Kyrie guy? Remember what happened there? James Harden's as bizarre as Kyrie. All right, thanks to Dylan and Will for producing. I'll be back with you Monday. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.